With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. My name is Howell Evans, and I'm in charge of this joint. This is Jamie Atherton, who can't use Skype. And this is Matthew Wanless, who lives in London, where today in history, the O2 phone communications completely went down. Matt, are you on O2?
I am on O2. It's been intolerable.
Was it horrendous? What was it like to live without phone access for a day?
It was really weird. I went to the toilet and did a big poo, and I didn't know what to do with myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's right.
Couldn't check the football sites, couldn't check my fantasy website, couldn't look at porn.
Can you just look through the photographs on your phone?
That's what I did. Just relive memories.
That's what I sometimes do. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, well, welcome back to the Box Set Pod. Thanks to everyone who sent us kind wishes saying that the last couple of podcasts have been good. I think longer ones in more detail are definitely the answer. Oh, a number of humans. We haven't got time to go through it because although we've just decided longer podcasts are better, it's taken us 35 minutes just to connect to Jamie's ridiculous Skype. And apparently,
but very quickly, my Skype did an update. I didn't know about the update anyway. The update's happened.
And also, Matthew Wanless simply forgot that we were doing this tonight. So that's the other reason that this is going to be a shorter podcast.
I did my apologies. And it's a shame because there's loads to talk about.
There's absolutely crammed loads.
Matthew, you're talking very conspiratorially tonight. Are you in trouble? Are you in the doghouse?
No, my daughter's not asleep yet. And, okay.
I know that feeling. You keep your voice down.
Yeah, sotto voce.
Okay, so thank you again. We haven't got time to go through all the correspondence, but thanks to all the messages from people who said, what is Matthew Wanless's problem with Norseman? Let's go to Jamie now. Jamie, did you fulfil your challenge of watching Norseman? We challenged each other. My challenge to you was Norseman. What was yours to me? You challenged me as well. What was your challenge to me?
Did I challenge you?
Yes. You told me to watch something in return. And I did watch it.
Did I challenge you to watch Homecoming on Amazon?
No, already watched that.
Oh. If you know the answer, why don't you just tell us?
I can't remember what I've watched now. It's this panicking. I feel so much under pressure because Matthew Wanless has to be quick tonight that my brain has completely lost all creative thought.
Let's just pause on Homecoming for a second because I'd just like to say that I thought that was one of the best endings to a TV series. I thought it was brilliantly done. I won't go into it, obviously, but it's very rare that they get it right, and I so hope they don't do a second series.
But you were agreeing that it was kind of weird.
Well, they will, won't they?
I really hope they don't.
You were agreeing that it was kind of weird to crack on with, though, didn't you?
I don't want to talk about this. I haven't seen it.
Okay, well...
Yeah, but should you? That's the point. We're like three episodes in, and it's just...
No one's interested
not that great.
In what you guys have to say. Are we just, all about me.
Are we just watching it for the sake of the last episode, then, Jamie? Is that, you know...
Is that what, sorry?
Is that what we do? Are we just watching it for the sake of the last episode?
Sometimes it's watching something for just... I enjoyed the whole piece. I thought it was all well done, but I think it was a really nice ending. And you know what? I like it when shows just go, you know what? That's it. That's me done. I'm not going to cash in and make four series and drag something out like House of Cards has done. I'm just going to make something good and
literally
concise.
Cannot believe we're still talking about this.
I remember what it was, Jamie.
Norsemen,
did you watch it, Jamie?
I watched three episodes of Norsemen.
Holy
and
shit.
I've made a few notes.
Mind the swearing tonight, please.
I watched three because I wanted to make sure that I went into... I gave it the fair chance that every series deserves, which is 3 to 4 episodes.
Four episode rule, not the 3 to 4 episode rule.
I think in dire circumstances, exceptions can be made.
Why would we ever have the four episode rule if it's not the 4 episode rule? If three's fine, then three's fine.
It's the exception that proves the rule. What did you think of Norseman, Jamie?
Right, let me just say this as well first. Howell, you and your brother both tried during the week to do what I'd call jury tampering, where you basically pincer moved me.
My brother texted both of us saying he loved Norseman and he was angry at Matthew Wandless, one of the many people who can't understand why Matthew Wandless struggled with Norseman. Go on.
Right. So I did feel pressurised, and I don't feel like that was a fair position to put somebody who's trying to be an impartial judge into. This could be a mistrial in some cases. Anyway, I'll talk you through my feelings. I didn't immediately find it that funny, but I'll tell you what, I immediately liked the Monty Python-esque tone of the show.
Yeah.
I like what I like about it. There's a lot of performance from Lilyhammer in it, isn't there?
Yeah.
And I like the way they stay very much in. There's no like playing for laughs. They very much stay very much deadpan, serious versions of the world that within that which they're living, which is obviously, we all know it's like this parody of the Viking culture, but also it's a parody of shows like The Last Kingdom or Vikings,
yep,
which I've watched a bit of. Yeah. It does that very well.
It does.
And I enjoy I enjoy as well the Norwegian accent. Apparently, when they were making the show, they filmed both the Norwegian version, they filmed it both in Norwegian and in English.
They did.
Interesting. Incredibly. Not many countries where you'd be able to do that.
Yeah.
I know.
Mm. So, conclusions.
Well, I didn't laugh that much in the first episode, but there was enough there for me to want to carry on. Mm. Like, there's one
when the laughter did flow, yeah?
Well, there's one joke near the end of the episode, one where I think the joke is they're trying to keep the brother from coming to the big party, and he says, "Oh well, we've got that rule 3-2-1, no one else can come," and that I thought was really well done. And there's moments like that, the monk penis necklaces as well, there's stuff like that got me, and I continue to watch it for another 2 episodes.
Can I ask you, because I can't remember, but has the evil bad guy come into it yet?
No, I mean, at the moment, the brother has just killed, he's usurped and taken over the tribe, basically.
You see, I would say...
the sort of weedy brother.
Even a heart as cold as Matthew Wandless would find the guy, the performance of the bad guy is one of the most brilliant performances, comedic performances I've seen in a long time. It's so deliciously ridiculous and funny. It's worth sticking through until you just see that guy and start making sense of him. Mm-hmm. But all the series together.
Are you saying you recommend it, Jamie?
I'll tell you how I feel at the moment. I feel like when I first started Parks and Rec, and I feel like I'm watching something that isn't quite like grabbing, like making me laugh a lot, but I'm liking enough of it to want to carry on watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta get
used. You know what I mean? Like I feel like it's gonna get.
Well, I'm disappointed because I really thought from the way you were setting it up that you were gonna shit all over it.
I know you did.
A hot, steamy shit right on its chest.
I know you did. I almost wanted to do it just for you, Matthew. But I have to say that I did enjoy it. And I have to say I'm probably going to stick with it as well because
Problem is that Wandless...
I am quite enjoying it. Although I would say I'm not like finding it laugh out loud funny yet. But I feel like I'm enjoying the characters enough. I'm enjoying it enough for me to continue.
I mean, Wandless has got form when it comes to comedy. We know that partly why the 4-episode rule exists is for comedy, because comedies actually have to get into their own rhythm as well. It takes the performers of comedy to take a while. Look at Parks and Rec, for example.
Parks and Rec is a perfect example. That first series of Parks and Rec is a bit of a mess, and they're not sure exactly what Leslie Knope is as a character. They're trying to make her into a David Brent style character, and it's not quite working.
Let me just tell Matt that something he missed on the text messages tonight might have been just mind your language on this pod this week. I'm in a studio where I'm worried that we're accidentally going out on the radio. So, keep it clean.
I will not censor myself.
Okay. So, good. Norseman. I remembered what the challenge was to me. Fleabag. You've been going on about it for ages.
Oh, wow. Didn't watch that.
Oh, no. Did you watch Fleabag,
Matt? I haven't seen it all either, but I watched some of it recently, and it's brilliant.
Loved it. Yeah. Because
I haven't watched all of it yet, though, so I've only seen a couple, two or three episodes.
Well, I'm quite a big fan of comedy, you see.
I'm a big fan of comedy as well, you are. I'm just exacting.
It's something I really enjoy, and it made me very happy. I mean, it is just brilliant. I almost can't believe that, you know, you mentioned Fleabag a few times, and I think you mentioned it in the same way that you mentioned, like, Mr. Robot, Jamie, which sounded like, yeah, go for it. You know, you sort of recommended it, but you didn't really put your heart and soul into the recommendation.
I was thinking, why isn't he... When we were talking about Boss Lady or whatever it was it Boss Girl?
Girl Boss. Oh, Jesus Christ.
We were talking about that.
Great series.
Fucking no taste. Honestly.
Great. Just anything.
If it's a TV program, I like it.
You were banging on about that, Howard, and I was saying, if you want to watch something female-driven, that's a brilliant piece of work. I said back then, Fleabag should be watching that.
Right.
Good choice, Jamie. Good choice.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, push yourself a bit more, you know. Get you, be a bit more like me. Bang on about something endlessly.
Yet again, Jamie shows that he is the populist compass of the podcast.
You called him a populist, probably what?
80% of the people agree with Jamie and 10% with Howell and 10% with me.
I would
maybe 19% with me and 1% with Howell.
I think if you're counting an individual people, you might be right there. But because my taste is so...
Well, as opposed to what?
Well, because my taste is so vast.
Collective consciousness. Unless we count the Borg.
Put it this way. If I stood in front of, you know, a football stadium's worth of people and listed the stuff that I liked and said, put your hand up if you like this, it would take me forever to finish my list because I like so much. But ultimately, yes, exactly. I would have got more hands put up. What you're going for is a select group of fine citizens from the Victorian age standing at the front who are discerning over everything that is good and bad and keep the paupers out.
I'm happy with that. If you like everything, you like nothing.
Okay, good.
Listen, right, okay. Fleabag, great. Excellent. Can we please talk about The Walking Dead? Because I damn near shat myself.
Right, of course. I was thinking we're on a Walking Dead break, but no, of course, you two are slackers.
Well, we can still pop in and just update on what's going on.
The finale was last week as well, the mid-season finale, and it was a corker.
Yep. So what happened? Remind me, because it's been 2 weeks since I watched it.
I had a slow build-up because I think I watched maybe two or three episodes in a row, and the one which I had seen before that little binge was the one that ended with Rosita and Eugene daubing themselves in mud, being pursued by a herd. And the last scene of the episode, you kind of heard this voice go, "Don't let them get away."
Okay, so that was
something like that.
Yeah.
And I had to go back and go like, "What the fuck? Did you hear that?"
Yeah.
And I rewound it, and we heard it again. We were like, "What was that? What the hell's going on here?"
Yeah.
And then it took two or three episodes for that arc to come to completion, which was the moment when Jesus swung his sword idly at a standing zombie, who then ducked, reached underneath, stabbed him through the chest with his own sword.
What do we think about the loss of
that whole business with the herds changing direction and pursuing people was messed up.
Yeah, it was very good.
So you've both finished now, so you know the answer to the question, are the walkers evolving?
Yes. No, but they're being controlled, aren't they?
No.
It seems.
No.
Why?
Well,
what do you think happened, Matt?
I think there was one human in there.
Well, they're all humans. They're all wearing the dead.
No, they weren't, because why did all the rest of them let themselves just get slaughtered? I think there was one human in there, and I think that human has figured out a way to make them do stuff.
No. Yeah. Really? Do you think?
Well, it has to be something like that, because Matt's right. Like, if they were all human, then they would have fought back, or they would have made more of an effort to defend themselves.
So maybe this is like, you know, they use it in Fear the Walking Dead a lot more than they do in Walking Dead. In fact, they only used it at the beginning of Walking Dead, I think. When you smother
yourself. Covering themselves in flesh.
Yes, covering yourself in blood.
Well, also, I know from a friend at work who reads the comics that these people are called the Whisperers. So that makes me think that they are controlling the zombies in some way.
So if you do dress yourself up in zombie skin and blood, can you then influence the herd by being the leader? You know, if the alarm clock
only
goes off.
Only if you talk like this.
Well, that's the weird thing, isn't it? Surely there would be no need to speak.
I bet that's going to sound like absolute garbage on Skype.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. Well,
people are going to be revolting against their headphones.
Yeah, so the impression I got was just, okay, we've got a new gang of people and they are wearing the skin of zombies and that's the way that they get in and out of places. So, but you're
by letting 20 of their number die.
Yeah, well, you know, it requires commitment to the part.
It's like, okay, this is like Norseman, isn't it? It's like, okay, John, I'm afraid today you're going to be at the front of the herd. And, well, there's this guy down.
Guys, I've been watching...
So it'll probably be quick. It'll
I've been
be
watching the last...
Straight to the forehead.
Slight diversion. I've been watching The Last Kingdom. And it's... So is that what I've been watching? Yeah, Last Kingdom. Has either of you watched any of that?
No, is that that's Chris Pine, isn't it?
It's
No, that's you're thinking of the Outlaw King, aren't you?
Possibly. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, Last this is the new was on the BBC, wasn't it?
Right. I've been watching the new big Netflix one, which is about Uten or whatever his name was, the Viking king. Anyway, watching that after. Norseman is really difficult. Yeah. Yeah, the costumes, in fact, some of the characters are identical. It's very difficult. Anyway, back to Walking Dead. So yeah, so that's interesting. All right, so you think they're doing like horse whispering, but with zombies?
That's what I reckon. I don't know. I might be completely way off. But listen, guys, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I've got to go. But let me just say quick summaries of what I'm watching. I've watched most of the scenario. I've got the finale left to watch.
Yeah,
and my quick caption review of the Sinner 2 goes like this: great, 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 great. Because I've fallen asleep in the last two episodes.
Wow!
Me and the wife are watching Ozark series 2. Really enjoying it. That has done is a very good job they're doing there, actually continuing that on and making it really work. It's got a very Breaking Bad feel to it in the sense that it's like it's just surviving and dealing with tension, but I actually think overall the cast are better than the Breaking Bad cast were.
Wow. Ooh. What a now wow. Whoa there, Nelly. Woo.
Wow. Overall because there is no one standout performance like Bryan Cranston.
Well,
although actually, Jason Bateman, not a million miles off.
He is
it's
very
not
good.
As the same emotional range, but the whole cast are much stronger than the whole cast of Breaking Bad, I think.
Goodness gracious me, I cannot agree with that.
Quite.
And I would say that that's more yawny at points than the Sinner.
I don't know about that. No, I think I think it's constantly on the edge, that one.
It is fun to do Bill Paxton. What's his name? Bill Pullman. Sorry, Bill Paxman, RIP. Bill Paxton. Pullman impressions. Forget it. Before Matt
actually,
goes...
Actually, what's annoying about the Sinner too, actually, is just that they haven't once referred to him getting his nails stamped on. Did I say that last week already?
They did, actually.
No.
At the beginning, they did. And when he goes to see the prostitute to ask her questions, there's a bit of sadomasochism that he notices there, and you sort of realize that it's referencing him as well.
A prostitute in series 2.
Yeah, he goes to question one.
When?
You need to watch it. Obviously, you'd fallen asleep.
I'm curious. I can't remember when.
He goes to the door of the house and she's standing outside and he says, give me information or, you know.
That's true.
So there's a little reference there. And really what this series is doing is answering the question, why has this guy got so much pent up frustration that he needs a release like that, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Before right, Matthew, wait, one to, statement okay. before Matthew goes. If, of all of the 200 or 300 people who listen to this podcast, if there is one person who is a millionaire listening, we would love it if you could pay for any of the TV series we talk about, just one star or writer or director to come and do a live show with us where we can ask them questions. Because what I'd really like to do is just play clips of what Matthew Wanless has said about their series on stage in front of both Matthew Wanless and them. I think that that would be some of the greatest
entertainment. Well, that's unfair because I've already at one point in the past put on the caveat that anyone who creates any of these things deserves a massive amount of credit, and it's incredibly difficult.
That's like but someone who starts point, a sentence of, with of no being, offense, but...
What's the point of pulling punches, you know, if you like or dislike something? It's more entertaining to talk about it in these terms. Well, and I don't mean what I say. I only mean it to a certain degree.
Good. Good. I'm glad.
I wouldn't worry about it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean...
No, but I work panicking. In the industry and I mean no disrespect to anyone. If you create something, you deserve respect.
Oh, wow. I wish I'd never said anything.
Gee, yeah. Took the fun out of that now.
Really killed it.
Well, you know, if you start coming up with silly little insults like this, and, you know, barbing people and trying to draw a moral line in the sand...
You'd still
like
come
Howell did
to the live
then,
show, though,
then,
wouldn't you?
You know, you're going to be made to look like an arsehole.
I mean, you'd still do it, wouldn't you? You'd still come to the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'd come and I'd tell them exactly what I thought, but I'd be respectful. More respectful than I am at the moment.
I'd love it. It'd be so funny to do that. All right. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Sorry, guys.
You're free.
Right. It's all right.
Goodbye. Fly on. So that was Matthew Wanless. Very critical, isn't he? Very critical of all things. I'm hoping he's still listening.
I think it's more patience with Matt. And I think that if he doesn't have the patience for comedy that maybe, like Norseman, you kind of have to give it a chance. And a lot of comedies have to be given a bit of time.
Do you think with Matt, though, it's like, because if I have problem with patience, it's when I watch something that I think is being purposely too slow. So I always get itchy at that point. With Matt, I feel like his measure of patience is something that seems, that isn't important enough. Do you know what I mean? Matt likes really, really well-made. I would imagine Matt would choose to go to the RSC over seeing an Adam Sandler film.
Well, I think we all would at the moment, though, wouldn't we?
Oh, well, obviously you haven't watched his live... Have you watched his live show yet?
I have. That's
funny.
It's the best thing he's done in a while.
Oh,
that's very good.
It shows how the man is.
But film-wise, he's been poor for a while, let's be honest. The comedy, the stand-up stuff, I did watch it after you recommended it, and I thought it was really good, and it was nice to see him back on form. I really liked that he mixed different gigs. Like it was all a mixture of performances from when he was first starting to build the show to like stadium performances of the music. It was well done. There's some brilliant songs in there.
Just brilliant. I just never knew that he was that good at singing, really. And you don't expect the whole thing to be a series of songs, and then it turns out to be a series of songs.
It's very good.
Yeah. What else?
Yeah, I finished Sinner. I am about to start the second season, which is released today, of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I'm glad to say that's back.
The new series is out today?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, hello.
And by today, everybody, we're recording this on the 6th of December 2018.
There you go. I'm just texting my wife. New series of Maisel out today, apparently. Very exciting. There we go. Oh, yes. Can't wait. I've been enjoying. Fleabag was brilliant. I've been watching This Is Us as well.
This Is Us.
That's
on Channel 4 that's a bit... It looks a bit soppy.
It does look a bit soppy, doesn't it? And it's not... It certainly has sentimentalness and stuff, but it's got some very funny stuff in it. And
the thing is, I saw a trailer for it. Yeah. And in the trailer, one of the characters says... If life gives you lemons, you got to make lemonade. And that was the moment I switched off. Because
I
hate that line.
I think it would be... There is a bit of that. And there is a bit of like, okay, we're going to watch some sad life stories and things. But also a lot of funny stuff. And it's not... Put it this way, it would be really easy to put together a really sappy advert in order to try and attract the kind of audience that watched something sappy, right? But actually, it's got more cojones than that, and it's more grown up. It's good. It's good. It is really good.
Okay.
So my neighbour recommended it, and thought, yeah, I should give that a go.
It's very popular. It's won a few awards, and of course, the Golden Globe Award nominations were announced today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're looking it up as we speak.
I'm just going to look them up now.
Okay.
Just to see what shows have.
Do you know what? I can't wait to come back. Mindhunter. I've watched it three times now, and
you've watched it three times.
Yeah, I think the series will be coming out again like next year, probably.
I can't wait as well. It was so good. The thing with the first series was it didn't always work until he got in a room with these serial killers. And then it just, the tension, the performances of the people playing the serial killers was so brilliant. And so, and I read the book actually that it's based on, well, very loosely based on.
Yeah.
And it's just as compelling. In fact, the show's a bit more compelling, to be honest.
Yeah, good. All right. Go on then, give us the Golden Globers. And then we'll call it a day. This has been a bit of a wet lettuce, this podcast. I really apologise. And I feel like we owe more to it than this because we're only on every couple of weeks. It's bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Technology beat us. I'm sorry.
Okay, let's have a look. Right, best TV series drama nominations. The Americans has got a nom. Now, I've been... The Americans is brilliant. It's really one of the most underrated shows ever made.
Okay.
And it's incredibly good. And it's on to, I've not caught up with the latest series, but it's meant to be brilliant. Bodyguard's been nominated. Whoa, did you watch Bodyguard, Howell?
We've just watched it. We've not talked about that. Loved it.
We need to talk about that. We'll come back to that. Killing Eve's got a nomination.
Yes.
So has Homecoming.
Great.
And Pose, something called Pose. I'll have to check into that.
Right.
In the musical or comedy category, Barry, I'm happy to say, has got a nomination. You watch Barry, Howell?
No.
You should give it a go.
What's that on?
Really, really funny. Bill Hader. It was on HBO, but it's also on Sky Atlantic. So if you've got any of those things, you'll be all right.
So that's Barry. What was the other one you recommended? I'm writing them down. Barry.
Barry. What was the other one I recommended? The Americans.
The Americans. That. Is that on Netflix?
It's brilliant. No, it's on Amazon, I think, but it's so good. Matthew Rhys, who's in it.
They're Russian spies or something, yeah?
So they're Russian agents living in America, and they have a family, and the issues that arise from that with their kids, it's brilliant. So cleverly done. Back into the musical comedy category, we've got Barry. The Good Place has got a nomination, which it deserves. Kidding, which is the Jim Carrey show about a kind of TV personality who starts having a midlife crisis.
How can we watch that? We can't, can we?
That's on Sky Atlantic.
Ooh, it'll be on Now TV.
Ah, it's on Now TV. There you go. So that's Phil. And The Kominsky Method, which is the Michael Douglas comedy on Netflix. Yeah. That's got a nomination.
Yeah. Something for the oldies.
And, of course, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Hey, another one.
Yes.
Wow. Brilliant. Well earned. Oh, that's great. So, quick word on The Bodyguard then. Loved it. Just thought it was great. What would Matt Wandless say if he was here? I'm trying to think of a criticism.
I think Matt liked it.
Yeah, but he would, you know, he'd have something to say.
I think you can definitely criticise that last episode. Did you not find it a little bit like they spent 50 minutes with him sat in a bomb vest?
Oh, yeah.
And then they spent 10 minutes like summing up a very complicated plot.
Yes, there was
It just felt like one giant set piece and then a massive amount of like trying to tie all the bits together in a short period of time.
Man and woman splaining, wasn't it, for the last 15 minutes? Yeah.
The writer, Jez, whatever his face is, does that with the line of duty a little bit as well sometimes. Like, he's very good at creating and ratcheting up the tension and creating the twists, but he's not always that good at tying it all back together in a nice little bow.
But boy, what tension though. Whenever they had tension. A sequence like the very first episode on the train and the bomb in the lecture theatre, and when they go for those pieces, the armage is just magnificent. And yes, the bits in between, I laughed audibly at some bad acting in that show. I don't want to name names, but certain smaller characters, right?
I think I know some of the ones you're talking about.
I'm not talking about any of the main characters, but I'm talking about, for example, I'm just going to say it. No, that would be cruel. Let's pretend that there's a policewoman just standing in your house looking after you.
I know exactly who you're talking
Suddenly
about.
Suddenly we go really EastEnders and it's like, hello, Mom, a letter's come for you. And I go, what? Since Grange Hill, I haven't experienced acting like this. And I think it's, again, that really, it's another really good example of where the Beeb can sometimes have a bit of a sidestep with its systems and procedures that perhaps the bigger stuff doesn't. Maybe, I don't know why, but I certainly don't find myself going, for example, Matthew Wanless's summary that there are some bad actors in Breaking Bad. I literally cannot think of a bad actor in Breaking Bad. I'm sure Matt would point out a few, but who?
No, he's completely wrong. Wrong. That summation was, you know, two parts tripe, I'm afraid.
So sometimes I feel like, like he said about Killing Eve, sometimes I cringe a little bit and go, oh dear. I can imagine the casting call taking place and this didn't take long to cast this part. But on the other hand, there's some great performances.
But back to Bodyguard a second.
That's what I'm talking about.
A problem with the accent thing is an issue because in the Line of Duty, I don't know if you've watched it, but the main character in that is a guy called Steve Arner.
Right.
And he's got a David Beckham style, London accent. And it's terrible. And I know why it's terrible. It's because the main guy who's playing it is a Scottish actor.
Yeah.
And he's desperately trying to do this horrendous, like, London cop voice. And for a while, it took me and Lauren a while to get over the fact that his accent was so horrendous. But once I did, it was a really good show. But there are little things like that with Jez's work that does kind of... He kind of misses the details.
I'm sorry, whose Scottish accent was bad?
No, his London accent was bad. The Scottish actor who plays Steve Arnott's in Line of Duty.
No!
This was terrible.
You did actually guess that he was Scottish, didn't you, when you first watched it, I think?
Yeah. I could hear the twang of Scottish coming through at times.
There is this.
It's just horrendous.
Well, it's just that for me, sometimes, and this is what I find in the... Let's move on to The Last Kingdom. So, Jamie hasn't watched The Last Kingdom, but it is definitely a Netflix attempt at Game of Thrones. The opening titles even go up and down a map of Britain.
It wasn't made by Netflix, though.
Okay. Well, they've certainly seen the potential in that. And it's the difference with Game of Thrones is that it's a true story, and certainly based on real characters, about a Viking boy that was... Sorry, an English boy that was taken by the Vikings as a hostage in a raid as a child, and then grew up with the Vikings. They sort of brought him up as their own, and then he went back to the British. And it's kind of, he's an outlaw. He doesn't believe in the Christian God, and they're all obsessed with, like, every king of different areas have always got a priest by the side, giving them advice. And it's good. It's just that there is this style of acting, which I've only ever seen as in Shakespeare, right? Which I can't, the Shakespeare plays we would have to go and watch at A-level theatre studies, Jamie?
Yes.
There's this voice.
Good God.
There's this way that certain people speak, and I'm going to try and do it. I'll try and do the accent because I can't think of another way of doing it, of describing it. Let me think. But, sir, you do not know what you say, if I think. Right?
Yeah.
And they'll often put pauses in places within the sentence that does not make sense. So if it's, but, sir, there's no pause after the sir. There's a pause before saith. So it'll be like, but, sir, you do not know what you saith, I think. Right? And it's like, it indicates to you that an actor is more bothered about poncing than he is about the actual meaning of the sentence. And a lot of it goes on in The Last Kingdom. That yeah. it almost just becomes noise because we have to talk in a heightened manner. And the gruff northern lad who who's really good at sword fighting, he's got a nickname for the Viking lad who becomes his friend, and he calls him Arsling. Hello, Arsling. Right? And he says it a lot, and it's like you can almost hear the pensioner audience in the theatre giggling every time the naughty northerner comes on and says ass. And it's like it's that really theatrical, those really theatrical sort of memes that don't stand.
So I feel like you're saying it's I feel like you're saying it's shit, Towel.
It's not. It's good. I'm watching the story. It's a little bit like if you've ever watched a Shakespeare play that isn't awful, but is still fairly pompous, but you are actually interested in the story and you can follow the story, you know? You're just sort of a little bit like the policewoman that I was talking about in The Bodyguard. You're watching somebody and you're going, oh, I like this story, but I wish you didn't perform like that. I wish you didn't do it like that, you know? There's just a little bit too much sort of sticking one's chin out and da, 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 da. It's weird. And we're going to have to get an expert on. We'll get Russell Gomer on at some point and talk about
talk about this. Talk to someone who knows how to do an accent.
Yeah, and what that is. It's just a weird thing. And often I think it happens when there's a cast of people who aren't being directed properly. They're not being directed around the text. They're being directed around the feelings rather than the actual. They're not being forced to actually think about the sense of what they're saying. Whereas if you think of Game of Thrones, they talk like, even if they talk in a heightened language like Tyrion does, you know, they still talk quite classically, but they talk as if they're we don't even question the fact that we couldn't understand what they mean, do we? It's like,
no.
It's very natural sounding stuff.
There's
no kind of poncing going on. Yeah.
No, it's a real issue when shows, it's a massive thing. If you're going to have an accent, are you going to try to, you know, portray characters with a certain twang or whatever, they don't get in the way of the character or the story or the performance, because it can really, really, it can really ruin things. Like, you're watching a show now that's probably quite a good story, but you're having to brush aside the shit accent, and that's annoying.
Yeah, I think it's also that thing of, in this case, what they've done on Game of Thrones really well is they've got a really good mix of accents. And if you're going for historical accuracy, which this one sort of is, granted, they've got the Norwegian, the Vikings, who've pretty much taken over Britain. They've got them talking with a slight Scandinavian accent. With the Brits, apart from that one northerner, you get a few accents, but mostly everyone's got this that sort of that straight Shakespearean thing. Actually, that probably wouldn't have existed. Most people believe that everyone would have sounded quite West Country in the old days. Like that's probably where the accents were in the South.
Yeah, but it's not even. It doesn't even matter as much as, like, as long as you do it or do it well.
Whatever you do,
just do it well. You know, you can do it in a Jamaican accent, just as long as it sounds okay.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Which is
right
why,
then.
Yeah. Anyway. Right. Okay. Yeah, he's going to go. No, I was just going to say, there was this fashion, wasn't there, for a while, of if you were playing, if you're doing a film about, say, Nazi Germany, people started to say you shouldn't be doing it in English with a German accent. That's insulting. You should do it in just an English accent. And so we went into this period of what is arguably a politically correct thing to do. And some films were made. Stalingrad is one of them, I think, where they just talk the other one, Joseph Fiennes.
Joseph, yeah.
I think in that he's just talking in his normal accent.
Yeah.
And
yeah, he is.
I didn't like it. I don't like it. It's like, at some point, we have to remember that we're watching entertainment, and sometimes we would like somebody to be saying this. You know, the lower approach. Ultimately, we're being entertained, and I think the sort of heading back towards that now. But perhaps that's now because they're quite rightly casting people like Dutch people in a story about the Nazis invading Holland. They'll have Dutch people playing the parts but speaking in English, so the accent is actually their accent in an English language, you know, which is which is fine. It's still entertaining to me.
Well, I think it's interesting. I just watched The Outlaw King, the film that's on Netflix that's about Robert the Bruce. It's got Chris Pine.
Yeah.
And he does a freaking brilliant Scottish accent. I thought, why is Chris Pine? Why is Captain Kirk starring in a story about Robert the Bruce?
Yeah.
And he's bloody brilliant. I have to say, he's amazing in it. And I didn't for one second even doubt that he was fully Scottish.
Right.
And so if you do it, just, you know, like, you've got to just be able to nail it. Otherwise, it can jar immensely.
Yeah, I wish I could play you a clip of the... In fact, I can. We'll just pick one random moment of this.
From the Kingdom.
From the... The Last Kingdom, and we'll see what we get. See if I can find a good.
And the song was tuneless.
I'm indebted.
Ah, these have both got Norwegian accents. Hang on, skip back a bit.
Sound quite good.
Who you are, Lord?
Hang on, skip back.
That sounded good.
Yep, skip forward.
My business is my own, and not that of a priest.
He took to the bed in my father.
Uhtred. You are the Uhtred? Who served with Alfred at Ethandon?
I am.
Praise him. Praise God, it is a sign!
Yes, you can hear it.
Yeah.
You know, in The Lord of the Rings, when you get to what's her name? Dippy Drippy one. Cate Blanchett.
Yes.
And the way that she speaks in that, and she says, by goodness, we are here, and it is like we have all been to voice lessons, and there is no way that a peasant would ever say, good Lord, it is Uhtred, we must celebrate. This is a peasant saying that you've just listened to.
It is like they want you to realise the work they've done.
Yes, that's it.
They want you to see the money they've paid to get the tuition.
That
for
is
all these accents.
That is it, and nobody's put a stop to it. Nobody's said something which tells me that somewhere in either the casting or the directing or something, somebody is quite happy with that, and they believe that that is what people want. My son, why are you here?
Yeah. It's like if you bought a pair of fancy pants, you want to show the world your fancy pants. You want to dance, you want to wiggle.
Exactly.
You want to show them off.
And they'll add another sentence on without taking a break. So if you were finishing your sentence just then, it would be like, you want to dance, you want to wiggle, you want to show them off. Is it Tuesday? just this weird, like, there is no common sense in a lot of the lines. It's just a song that we are singing to each other. Stereophonics pick a part that's new. Is that a song? And it makes you tune out, doesn't it? That's why so much Shakespeare put us off. Not because it was difficult language, but because it just puts you to sleep.
But you're going to blame the director, though, because the director should be stepping in and going, okay, can you just, you know, just turn it down a little bit?
Can you wait at a full stop just for a moment? Is that all right? Just, you know, and when there's a comma, give a slight pause. And only when there's an exclamation mark should you shout. By God, it is him! Right, okay.
Okay.
That'll do, pig.
That'll do.
You may email us.
Back in two weeks.
Studio at the Box Set Pod.
Christmas Pod.
And don't forget, get to the website. If you click on the link to our merchandise on our website, you will be taken to our store on TeePublic eventually, after a couple of clicks. And on there's not just the T-shirts that we've picked. There are endless T-shirts. I have been on there and I have bought at least 4 T-shirts for families and friends because I just love them so much. So
Just go and buy a t-shirt
and go via our website, and then you might give us like 20p or something by buying that t-shirt. Be amazing. Studio at theboxsetpod.com or go to the website theboxsetpod.com. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.